We are up to Os Chaf Hei, the 25th entry here in the Rebbe's diary, and he tackles a really, really intense topic. One of the things that is incredible about the Rebbe was how courageous he was in discussing openly topics that even today many people are uncomfortable talking about. He talked in the introduction to his Chovas HaTalmidim that he published in the late 1920s, 1929. He talks about the problem of kids who are off the derech, who are at risk, who are leaving Yiddishkeit. Remember, he's writing in a Polish shtetl about Hasidic kids going off the derech. That's one sensitive topic. In today's diary entry, he writes about another very, very sensitive topic, Lo Aleinu, that when I read this, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe, A, that this was a real phenomenon, because I wasn't aware of it. And B, I couldn't believe that the Rebbe was talking about it. And that is the idea of suicide. This is obviously a very, very sensitive topic. And if you know anyone, or God forbid you yourself are, you know, in such a matzav where this is something that is omid al haperek, is something that is of consideration, so you need to contact a mental health professional right away or the National Suicide Helpline. But to think that a Chassidish Rebbe in 1929 was attuned to this phenomenon is amazing. To think that he was aware of it and he was open to writing and speaking about it is amazing. And it's also tragic to realize that this is not a new phenomenon. Like many things in life, we like to think that this is the first time anybody's ever faced this problem. Technology, no one's ever had this problem before. You know what? They had this problem when they invented the printing press. And all of a sudden, you now have pornographic magazines that you never had before because you didn't have a printing press. So the internet is just a new form of an old problem. People say, oh, now we're so distracted, we can't daven. The Talmud Yerushalmi talks about distracted davening for the Amo Royim 1,800 years ago. So problems that we have today are not necessarily new. So the Rebbe addresses a problem, Lo Aleinu, Lo Aleinu, Lo Aleinu, of suicide, which is a real challenge. I shudder to think about, but the statistics are that in the IDF, in the last couple of years, the highest cause of death among Israeli soldiers is, Rachman Litzlan, people taking their own life. Lo Aleinu, Lo Aleinu. So this is a real issue. And what's really interesting is that the Rebbe raises it in a specific context that also has incredible resonance. I want to start actually in the second line and then come back to the first line. You see where the Rebbe says in the second line, Ha'olam, the world, misowning, it groans al hafkaras hachayim ka'is, on the fact that people are just mafkir, they are giving up on life today. Va'al ha'ma'abdim es atzman ladas shenisrabu rachmona litzlan, that they have taken their own life, God forbid. And what does the Rebbe write? You see, there's a little asterisk on the note. In the footnote, he says, why? He says, because of the economic crisis of the late 1920s, because of the Great Depression. The economic crisis of the 1920s drove many people, says the Rebbe, to suicide. He's calling out a social phenomenon that apparently people were talking about. So how do we think about this? What does that mean? So before we get to what the Rebbe is talking about, I want to introduce you to a very interesting book. It's called Without a Job, Who Am I? Who's the author of this book, if you had to guess? None other than Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. Dr. Tversky writes an entire book in 2009, in the wake of the economic crisis, the crash of 2008, which left so many, countless, hundreds of thousands of people, maybe millions of people, without jobs. And I wonder, as I think about this idea of the mental health effects of an economic downturn, Rahman al-Islan, we're in the middle of a pandemic still, what that has done to the, we know there's some discussion about this, about the mental health of people. Now, it's interesting, there was actually an article 2 weeks ago that there was research done that, Baruch Hashem, the rates of suicide during COVID actually have gone down, interestingly. And there are quite a few reasons for that. One of them might be the fact that there are fewer social interactions for people to feel bad about themselves. So that's one interesting idea. Another one is that people feel that they're in the same boat with others who are struggling. There's a lot of interesting aspects to it. But the idea of a downturn in the economy causing people to give up on their life, this is a real thing. So Rabbi Dr. Ratursky writes an entire book. I didn't get through the entire book, but I went through a lot of it when I was preparing and thinking about this idea when I saw this in the Rebbe. And of course, Rabbi Dr. Twersky brings it back to the question of self-esteem, which is a theme that he writes and talks about in every book. And that's his mantra, but there's so much truth to it. And he writes on it from a spiritual standpoint, discovering our nucleus of worthiness, about how losing a job, of course, has so many damaging consequences, but it shouldn't rob us of our self-esteem. He talks about a story of suicide. He talks about going to work and meeting a man by the name of Stuart, who had, Rahman al-Islan, made a serious suicide attempt. He felt he had nothing to live for. His family had left him, and he repeatedly ignored warnings from his law firm partners that his drinking was intolerable and he would be terminated if he did not stop. He had made some costly errors and caused much embarrassment to the firm by his behavior. "What do I have to live for?" he asked me. "I don't have my family. I don't have my job. I've made a fool of myself. Live for what?" I said, "Do you remember last week's news story about a gunman who sprayed bullets in a restaurant and killed 8 people?" "Yes," Stuart said. "What do you think about a person who would kill people he didn't know? He must be crazy." "Do you really know yourself?" I asked. Dr. Twersky asked this man, "Do you know yourself?" Stuart hesitated and bit his lip. "I guess not," he said. "Then committing suicide would be killing someone you don't know, right? Are you that crazy?" Stuart remained silent. "Tell you what," I said. "I want you to stay for treatment and get into a course where you will get to know who you are. That will take about 4 years. If after that you still want to kill yourself, we can discuss it." Stuart followed a prescribed recovery course. 4 years later, I received a letter from him saying, "It's been 4 years since we first met. I've gotten to know myself, and I have no intention of killing myself. My wife is pleased with the new person I have become, and we are considering getting back together." Stuart discovered who he was. Dr. Twersky is saying that when a person loses their job, it doesn't take away who they are. It doesn't have to rob a person of their self-worth. He tells one more mice. I'll tell you an amazing, amazing story he tells here of an Israeli guy who he met. Incredible story he met. Rabbi Dr. Twersky met in prison. He went to do some work with inmates. And he met a guy who's 31 years old. And he tells him his life story, has been in prison for 16 years. 16 years. And he's about to be released from prison. And when the social worker tells his family that he's going to be released from prison in 90 days, they're not happy, because he's a burden and an embarrassment to them. So he says to Dr. Twersky, he says, "How am I supposed to live like this? How do I find self-esteem?" So he says, Dr. Twersky says to him, he says, "You ever see a beautiful jewelry store with diamonds?" So the guy said, "Of course." So he says, "Do you know where diamonds come from? Do you know what it takes to make a diamond? You have to pull it out of the dirt where it's filthy and it's dirty. It has to be mined from ore. And what looked like a dirty piece of glass, after you shine it and you process it, it's a beautiful shining diamond. You can't put any beauty into a dirty piece of glass, because it's always there. You just have to reveal it. So he says, Dr. Twersky says, I'm not a maven on diamonds, but I'm a maven on people. I've been a psychiatrist for decades, and I know that you have a good soul within you, just it's covered by ugly behavior. So you just got to get rid of that filth on the top. He says, why don't you go to a transitional facility for this, you know, getting out of prison, and you'll be able to deal with your addiction, Rahmanul Itzlan, your substance abuse, and then you'll see. So he goes to this facility, and he is able to stay clean, and he does really well. So one day after he graduates from this facility, he's still drug-free, he gets a call from Annette, who's the administrator at the facility. She says to the man, we'll call him Avi, he says, Avi, there's an elderly couple who they are downsizing, they're moving to a retirement facility, they're giving away their furniture. Maybe you could arrange possibly to help us and get a guy or two to help us, you know, schlep the furniture. Avi says, sure, he has a lot of gratitude to this place that supported him, helped him. So he says, I'll get two guys, let's go, we're going to meet at the apartment. So he goes to the apartment, he calls Annette, he says, I have to tell you, I'm so sorry, the furniture is very dilapidated. I'm not sure how much you can even salvage from here. Do you want me to still bring it? So she says, yeah, you should still bring it, please, because I don't know if the people are going to be insulted, and we committed to them, so fine. So he schleps the furniture. As he's bringing it out to the truck, he picks up the sofa, and out of the side of the sofa slides an envelope. 5,000 shekel fall out of it. So he's trying to figure out what to do. He just found 5,000 shekel. It's a lot of money. It's like $1,800. And a few years ago, that was a lot of money. Now, still a lot of money, but not as much as it was then. So he thinks, what should he do? What should he do? So he decides, you know what? He calls Annette and says, I found this money. What do you think we should do? Annette says, you know, those people, it was in their couch. The right thing to do is to call them. So he says, I'll call them. So he calls them up and he says, I'm sorry to tell you, but you left 5,000 shekel in the couch. They say, that's amazing that you thought to call us. How many people would call us, not put the money in their pocket? You're just a schlepper. You're just dragging it to the, you're not even an employee. You're just a volunteer. That's so amazing that you did this. We'd like to give the 5,000 shekel to the rehabilitation center in your honor. Unbelievable. So Dr. Twersky says, excuse me, a few months later he was back in Israel and he meets Avi at a reception hosted by this program. And he tells me the story, says Dr. Twersky, about the 5,000 shekels. And he felt so good. And Rabbi Twersky says, I told him, he says, remember when I told you at our first meeting in the prison that you have such a good soul, you just have to bring it out? A lot of people wouldn't do what you did, and you should be proud of yourself. Dr. Twersky says, a few months later, Avi donated a bronze plaque. He got a job, and he's setting in his life, and he donated a plaque to the rehab center, the door. And it says on it, Diamond Processing Center. That's what he says. Because in dealing with these Nebuch, most challenging situations, Dr. Twersky is teaching us that we need to dig deep and remember our self-esteem, our self-worth. And that when a person, Rahman al-Islam, loses a grip on that, it's because they've lost a grip of themselves, who they are, who we are deep inside as valuable and precious diamonds. So the Rebbe is coping with this in 1929, just like we're coping with it today. So what does the Rebbe look at? Now we could start back from the beginning, now that we've dealt with this overarching issue. The Rebbe says, and this is amazing perspective, he says, look, Al tivkul amesim atzmo, do not just die, cry for those who have passed away. Bacho, Bechu bacho, you should also cry, gam laholich v'meis, for the person who is walking and is dead. The walking dead. Ha'olam is oenin al hafkaras hachaim ka'es, the world is bemoaning
people who have committed suicide, who have given up on life now, now because of the economic crisis, people are giving up, they're committing suicide. And I, says the Rebbe, also worry about the people who are walking, but they're just walking dead. Lo hamas esatzmo, the person didn't kill themselves, rachmanu litzlan, when we call makom, but they're dead, mesu, they're walking around dead. Hachayim life nasu zol vehefker etzlo, it's become cheap and valueless to that person. Lichlo yos o lo lichyos, to live or not to live, achasilo, it doesn't matter. What's this about? So mitchila, he says the Rebbe, dealing with people, God forbid, who are living dead. It used to be that people, in order to give up their Yitzhahara, to convince them that there was no God, and a lot of times the Yitzhahara didn't succeed in convincing a person of that. Va'ata, but now hisponanti, the Rebbe says, I've looked carefully. I've seen people, they're not heretics. They're not kofrim. V'holchim b'shrius libam. It's not that they rebel against God. They want to give up on life. Rak mipnei ha'anochi shalahem. Their sense of self. Shehuzal. It's been cheapened. V'hufkar etzlam. And diminished. They have no self-esteem. The Rebbe is writing in 1929 about the same thing that Dr. Tversky is trying to give us chizuk on in 2009. That people are walking dead because they don't believe in themselves. Because they don't see that they have value. Their anochi, their I, is empty, it's meaningless. Yomus, yichye, if I live, if I die, gan eden, gehenem, heaven or hell, lami, for who? La anochi shelo. But that sense of self, va anochi huzal v'hufkar etzlo. And therefore the person feels, ve'eno kedai l'tapelbo. There's no reason to take care of myself. Right? Why should a person nurture themselves and worry about self-care and their destiny if they have no worth? Velido gavura, to care for it. Asher karcha baderech. Krirus bakol af batzmuso. What is the Pius Etzner saying in this last short but very powerful line? Asher karcha baderech. They encountered you on the road. Karcha is krirus, is being cold, dispassionate. Afbats muso, that's talking about Amalek. Amalek is the arch enemy of the Jewish people. What does the Rebbe say? Amalek is telling us, don't care about yourself. The Rebbe is saying, he's so present, he's saying what Dr. Tversky in all of his 80 books is shrying to us. That if we want to live while we're living, if we want to be alive, if we want v'chai, if we want to have a life of living, we need to care about ourselves. We need to believe in ourselves. We need to have self-esteem. We need to understand our self-worth. We are echelek elokam imal. We cannot listen to Amalek that says, it's not worth anything. Life is not worth living anything. And more importantly, Amalek is telling us, I'm not worth living. My life doesn't matter. The Rebbe Shalom says, our life does matter. We need to get to know ourselves and realize that we are a diamond. What an unbelievable. Remember, this is a diary entry from 1929. How prescient is that? Rachman Litzlan, none of us should ever be at this discussion in need of this level of help. But if we do, there is help, thank God. But just to realize each on our own level, how often is it that that voice creeps up on us and says, what's the difference whether you do another mitzvah or not? You're so far gone. You're so worthless. Where you've been or what you've done, it doesn't really matter. Yichye, yomus, gan eden, gehenem, what's the difference? That's that Amalek voice. And the Pasuk tells us, Timcha Seicher Amalek, we have to eradicate it. We have to tell that voice, I am worthy. I do have value.
We have to spend time getting to know ourselves, getting to realize that chelek elokam imal, that spark of godliness which lives within each one of us. To nurture that. To make sure that even, as Dr. Tversky says, without a job, who am I? I am a chelek elokam imal. I'm a divine spark. I have value. I'm precious. My life has meaning. In that way, the Rebbe says, we can make our first steps in living, in v'chai, in lichyos. He says, I'm not just worried about the people, God forbid, who have given up on life and taken their own life, Rahman l'Islam. I'm worried about the people who have given up on life and just keep on living, but they're not really living. I'll end with one vart from the Kotzker. Apparently someone said to the Kotzker, the holy Rabbi Nachum Mendel Morgenstern of Kotz, the great spiritual giant, very unusual person, said to the Kotzker, what are your kochos? What are your powers? And the Kotzker says, you know, I know within myself I have the power of tchias hamesim, of bringing the dead back to life. But the Kotzker said, that's not my focus. I'd much rather bring the life back to living. Let's focus on making sure that our lives are being lived, that we are in touch with our true selves and we realize how precious we are so that we can live life to the spiritual fullest, not to fall into this pitfall of Amalek, to realize our value, to realize that this world is a diamond processing center, that we need to get to know ourselves, and when we do, we'll appreciate the gifts that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. That is tremendous chizuk. That makes life worth living. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, but to always come back to that, to realize who I am. And as Dr. Tversky says in the postscript, rebuilding yourself when you've lost your job, home, or life savings, it's all going to come back to understanding and appreciating our true inner self, our neshama, our nitzos of chelek elokam imal.